Hey, what's going on, everyone? Welcome to episode number one of The Point After. I'm Greg alongside Kurt. Thanks for checking us out. If you haven't already done so, head over to Twitter, follow us at Point After Pod. If you have time, hop on iTunes, Stitcher, leave a review, let us know what you think of the show. We'd love to hear from you. Kurt, before we get started, I want you to tell our listeners about DraftKings.
Hey, Greg. DraftKings is great. If you haven't already checked it out, you need to check it out. If you are listening to this show, it's probably because you enjoy football, you enjoy sports, that sort of thing. DraftKings, it's essentially, it's like fantasy football, but it's a way that you can make some money on the side. So it's a lot of fun. You can either do the big pots, the small pots. Big pots, I'm talking like $1 million, that sort of thing. If you don't win at all, you can still win a lot of money, multiple of thousands of dollars. So the smaller pots, some of the options that you have, you can play little pots and go match up just kind of one on one against some other Joe Schmo. So if you feel like you know a lot more than everybody else, your normal fan, do the one on one games and you can win a lot of money. So you can start the nickel and dime a guy really. So like win $100, $200 at a time, and some people they do pretty well in that. So me and Greg, we think we're going to win the big money. So we try to play the $1 million games, that sort of thing. If you win at all, you take home a lot of money. And Greg, we've come kind of close on a couple of them. So like a player or two off. So
yeah, we're normally just about every week we're about one player off. We take some gambles. We play some underrated players, and we hope that they go off. And it's just been that they haven't done so.
Right.
So anyhow, if you're interested in playing fantasy football, 1 week fantasy football at DraftKings, head over to DraftKings.com.
Gotta check it out.
And enter our code POINTAFTERPOD for the promo code. And I believe that they're running a promo where you get a $200 match bonus.
Yeah.
So head over there right now and sign up.
Yeah. You'll see the commercial on TV. So, I don't want to get myself in trouble, but check it out. It's definitely cool. So, we're gonna kind of go into a little bit of Brown stuff. If you haven't checked us out, kind of looked into us before, we are very down to earth. We're just football fans. So we work together. And what we keep doing is it's shift change. We talk quite a bit about football. We'll talk for hours on end. About the Browns, about the NFL, what's going on with the Buckeyes, things like that. So we'll talk about it. So we got the bright idea, hey, let's get like a podcast going. So if you're wondering why it's week 14 and we're putting out our first podcast, it's because we have no idea what we're doing. So we're playing it by ear. We're kind of just going with the flow, doing the best we can. So if it doesn't all sound professional, we're working at the kinks. We'll get there eventually. Rome was not built in a day, so this podcast is not going to be the greatest one you've ever heard, but we're getting there. So make sure you can leave us comments and things like that on our Twitter, and which I'm new to it, by the way. So I never had Twitter until The Point After. So leave us comments. Let us know how we're doing. All that feedback is positive feedback. So so Greg, when I came in today, I want to get to this.
Scared of Jet?
I'm not scared of Jetters. Okay. Greg's got like a German Shepherd dog. It's for a German Shepherd. It's not the biggest dog ever, but it's a German Shepherd nonetheless. And I know Jet. Jet knows me. I think Jet's kind of used to me by now. But when you get out of your truck and you see a black German Shepherd, and the eyes looks like you're opening up the gates of hell, it's kind of scary. So I don't know. I thought I was going to die when I came in today, Greg.
Jet's got some pretty ferocious bloodlines.
Yeah, Jet's scary. So I get on my truck, and I see a German Shepherd that's all black just running toward me. And I was pretty scared. So I'm glad I'm still here. I'm glad I'm still breathing, that sort of thing. So Greg doesn't think that he lives in the ghetto. I would disagree.
It's not the ghetto, bro.
I never lock my truck. I don't ever lock my truck. I think I've locked my truck three times in the history of having my truck, and one of them was right now. So my truck is locked. I'm scared. So anyways, we're gonna get there. This podcast thing, it's new to us. So eventually we'll get there, but until then, just kind of.
Bear with us. It took us some time to, you know, we had to research some equipment and, you know, figure out what would be best for us. And we're still trying to figure out how to work it and stuff.
Like,
so
we started kicking around this idea of the podcast probably like week 8, about halfway through. And this is going to be the first one that we actually were putting out. So there's a lot of technical things that we're not really we don't really have a lot of knowledge of. So we're getting there. So. Yeah, so that's where we're at.
Bear with us as the weeks go on. We'll have a little bit more sound effects, maybe some sound bites and, you know, things like that. But, we're figuring out this mixer and these microphones and, you know, like I said, we just kind of did some research on the internet and figured out what other podcasts we're using, and that's what we went with. So,
and here we are. Here we are. So
there she is.
Okay, so, all right, well, hey, there's the big question, obviously. Regarding the Browns, as we head into this game against the Colts, we're going to get into that. Obviously, it's the Brian Hoyer, Johnny Football, Johnny Dog Pound, Johnny Manziel, whatever you want to call him. That's the big debate.
Touchdown.
What are they going to do? So Johnny Turnover, as I would say. We're going to get into that. So, but kind of first, I guess we're going to start off with a little Browns recap. If you didn't check out the game or if you want to get kind of our analysis of the game against the Bills, we're going to bring it to you. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to start off kind of with the recap of the game and kind of give you some of my insight. I think the game really started off well for the Browns. I think when, you know, Mike Pettin, obviously he was in Buffalo last year, their D coordinator. He knows a lot of those guys. That defense, I think, the way that they played against the Browns, deep down inside, I think he was kind of, I don't want to say he was happy for him, and I think Pettin said it well in like a pregame press conference. He wants those guys to do well every week, except for the week that they play against the Browns, because he went through the battles of the NFL with those guys. You know, last year they were really successful. Mario Williams probably had his best year as a pro. They played well, a lot to do with his system. So now they have the greatest defensive coordinator of all time, Jimmy Schwartz, as their defensive coordinator. So
ridiculous.
That was a joke if you couldn't tell. So Jim Schwartz, we'll that's a whole another topic by itself. So they started off the game pretty well. I think for the most part, if you just want to kind of summarize, the first half overall, if you watch that game, was controlled by the Browns. No doubt about it. Offense, defense, special teams. You know, other than the missed field goal, special teams as well, I would say. I think that the blocked field goal at the end of the half was good with Hayden. I think that definitely they controlled both sides of the ball. On offense, they didn't capitalize. They missed the field goal. They kind of had some opportunities to really, take hold of that game. They never did, and it ended up obviously biting them at the end of the game there. But I think for the most part, the Browns did what they wanted to do in the first half. They didn't think it was going to be, a 50-40, type of game. I think they thought it was going to be Browns, Bills, blue collar, that sort of game, and I think that's what happened in the first half. So that missed field goal was big. The blocked kick was big at the end of the half, and I think the Browns actually they felt like they played better, but they missed some opportunities during the first half. Greg, what do you think?
Yeah, you hit it right on the head. I thought Brian Hoyer played okay in the first half. I thought they were trying to establish the run. I thought their defense was just playing phenomenal. Then obviously that block kick by Joe Hayden at the end of the half.
Joe Hayden.
That was big.
Okay, don't want to get too far off track here, but Joe Hayden, okay, last couple weeks, he's the highest paid cornerback in the NFL.
He should be.
He is the highest paid. That's in front of Richard Sherman, Patrick Peterson, Revis Island, all those guys. He's the highest paid. So I think at the beginning of the year, there was a lot of fans kind of had some skepticism. They were saying, he can't cover anybody. He wasn't doing well. Antonio Brown is not a good matchup for him. They played the Steelers twice. I think other than Antonio Brown, though, Even in the get go, you know, he hasn't played all that bad during the beginning of the year. But these last four or five games, Joe Haden is showing the league why he is arguably the best corner in the league.
Yeah,
would you agree with that?
Absolutely, and that's pretty. You know, that's made apparent. Against Atlanta, he pretty much shut down.
Jones. He did.
And you look at last week, Julio Jones. He owned Patrick Peterson.
Yeah,
owned him.
Joe Haden, I'm glad he's on our side. He's definitely a shutdown corner. I know a shutdown corner is kind of a term that's thrown around quite a bit. Joe Hayden's a shutdown corner. I can say that with no doubt. So, and he's the type of showing that blocked field goal. A lot of times your shutdown corners, the guy that's leading, that's paid the most out of any cornerback in the league. Yeah, they should be put in the effort on special teams, but they don't always do that. Joe Haden shows you, okay, I'm worth every penny. I'm going to block kicks. I'm going to be a shutdown corner. I'm going to travel. I'm going to guard against the best wide receiver week in and week out, and I'm going to shut him down or do as well as I possibly could. So it's good having him. He's obviously a big cornerstone of the defense and a big building block going forward. So, a lot of good overall, I'd say, in that first half of the game. You know, you kind of got the feeling the Browns, they're controlling the game. They're the better team. But you kind of left the first half saying, yeah, this is NFL. We missed some opportunities. It could come back to haunt us. And I think in the second half, it definitely did. So second half opened up. Bills got the ball. And they threw a pick, and they threw that pick, and you think, okay, here we go. We're going to put our fingerprint on this game. We got the ball deep in their territory. You think at least we're going to get three. Hopefully we can get a touchdown. Me personally, I think that's when the game changed. Some people will say it's when Terrence West, when he fumbled the ball and it was returned for a touchdown. Yeah, that was big too. I think Brian Hoyer, it's a three-play drive, okay? They get, look here. They get minus 8 yards on the drive after that interception, okay? Get out of field goal range. They don't get any points on the board. Greg, you can't do that as a quarterback. What do they say about the quarterbacks, Greg?
You know, as a quarterback, you've got a couple jobs to do, and one of those jobs is to, make sure that, if the drive isn't ending in points on the board, it's ending with a kick. And
when you get the ball in that position, though,
unfortunately, yeah, you have to capitalize.
You've got to.
And it just can't be a field goal either. When you get a break like that in a game, you've got to find a way to put the ball in the end zone, and that's just something that the Browns have really struggled at the last couple of weeks, is putting the ball in the end zone.
Right, and if you're talking about a team that is, a team that's trying to get a win for the first, second, third time of the year, and they don't have any expectations for the playoffs, yeah, whatever. A punt, that's what a bad team does. The Browns, they have expectations to get to the playoffs, make a run, and obviously end goal, yeah, win a Super Bowl. But a team that
isn't going to happen with Brian Hoyer.
We'll get to that. Don't worry. But a three-play drive after a turnover, they had the ball at the 30-yard line, marching in, and a three-play drive, if you want to call it a drive, minus 8 yards, takes them out of field goal range. And they don't get any points, and that's not what a good team drive is. Well, I've heard Hoyer. This is what in Hoyer's mindset. It sounds like he had a couple options. Obviously, he knew that he didn't want to take a sack. Obviously,
they were screaming that Azir in his.
And Hoyer knows well enough he can't take a sack in that situation. And what does he do? He takes a sack. That to me, obviously, I think that's where the game changed. When that happens, when you punt, that's a huge boost for the crowd. That's a huge boost for the defense. Your offense is on the sideline saying, wow, we threw a pick. They get the ball here on a 30-yard line. They're going to score. And instead, they don't get any points. And to me, that's where the game changed. So what do? They do what a good team does, and they drove down the field. Scored a touchdown, didn't get a field goal. They scored a touchdown, and that right there was kind of a microcosm of the game, really. So they scored a touchdown. We get the ball back. First play of the drive. It was the first play. First play of the drive. Terrence West holding the ball. Like a loaf of bread.
And the wrong arm.
Yeah. Says he's fighting for extra yards. Fighting for extra yards. Come on, man. Like, you're a rookie. He hasn't played like a rookie so far this season. Well, he definitely looked like a rookie in that situation. Turnovers will kill you. Turnovers will lose you games. And definitely in that situation, you can't turn the ball over. They picked it up, took it in for a touchdown, and at that time, the game was starting to slip from the Browns. So,
let's talk about that real quick, though. I've been impressed with Terrence West so far this season.
I think
he runs the ball well. I'm glad that they
got
rid of
him. He's nifty. Like he's not the fastest guy. He's not the most powerful guy, but he has good vision. We'll say that. Mm-hmm. Great footwork. He'll hit the hole. He'll get stuck behind a blocker or a defender or something, and he'll kind of bounce away and make a play. He does a good job with that. You haven't seen him make any incredible runs, long runs. But he has been consistent with the Browns.
And, I don't know how many long runs we're going to see him make. I see him as a. He's gonna break off a 15-yard run every now and then, but he's not gonna break off a 65-yard touchdown run
right
every week. But, right. Like you said, he's
Crowell, the Crow.
I like Crow.
I love him. Yeah. I think he's
our future.
Well, he's definitely exceeded expectations, no doubt. But I would say with Crowell, you feel like every time he touches the ball, whether he's catching a pass, whether he's a simple one of those little toss sweeps that they do where they toss it and it's actually like a cutback, which Shanahan has done an awesome job with kind of switching up the play calls. And I think he's been consistent so far this year of running the football. Even if they get down a little bit, they stay consistent. They're true to their identity, other than that game where Hoyer threw like 40 passes. So, but – I think Crowell, he has been electrifying. I think that would be the word. And I really like what I see from him. Let me check my notes. He had 17 carries. West had seven. West got seven carries for 32 yards and a fumble. He should have had two fumbles, or he almost had two fumbles. The other one was overturned. And then Crowell, 17 carries, 29 yards. Not a good game. Didn't have his best game, but... I feel like when you have Crowell in the game, yes, I think it's important to get both running backs carries. You need to have a two quarterback or a two running back system in the NFL now. I think that's apparent. But Crowell, I think going forward, he's obviously solidified himself as the number one, and I feel more comfortable with him carrying the ball than I do with West. So, so let's kind of go back into this game. So the Bills, they after that punt, they drive down, they score, and obviously they have the quick turnover again where West fumbles the ball in the first play of the drive. They take that in for a score, and then the Bills kind of have you right where you want them. They at that point you're down a little bit, you're down 14-3. You kind of got to start to open it up a little bit, and the Bills are designed for that because they can rush the quarterback. They can get pressure on the quarterback with four guys. They don't need to have these exotic blitzes, these cover zero blitzes where they have, they're blitzing seven, eight guys. They can say, okay, listen, we're going to send heat with four. Our front four, they're good enough to put some pressure on the quarterback.
They're dirty.
Yeah, they're awesome. That is a physical defense. And I think if you look at the Browns, where they've lost.
Let me stop you right there. Let's not give too much credit to Jim Schwartz. I want to make that very apparent. Go ahead.
Very clear. Okay. Now that that's been clarified, and I would agree, I think Jim Schwartz kind of handed that defense. And look at the let's real quick here. The Detroit defense is what – statistically the best defense in the league this year without Jim Schwartz. I think that formula kind of just fell right into the Bills' hands. They have four guys that blitz the quarterback, put pressure, and then they can drop all those other guys in coverage. And that's just a bad formula for the Browns. That's not what they're designed to do.
That's tough to do, especially when you're behind and they know
right.
that you're going to be
played thrown. Right into
they
their hands.
They can pin their ears back and they can get after the quarterback and the corners know
and this,
that.
And this kind of got me a little worried here. You look at the teams that the Browns have lost against. The Steelers, you know, that was kind of a weird game, obviously, the first game of the year. But the Texans, who did they lose
Jaguars.
To?
Jaguars.
Jaguars, okay. The Bills, all the teams they tend to lose to, they're physical teams up front, okay? They're front seven. It seems like those front seven are more physical, and I know that has a lot to do with Alex Mack, but this is the NFL. Injuries happen, and I think it's kind of a mindset. And first off, let me just say, Pettin, I love the guy. I love his attitude. He doesn't beat around the bush with anything. I love how he handles the media. I love the tone that he sends that he sets with the team. I think it's a good tone to set. But I think that you're seeing the Browns. They're kind of getting in the games that they're losing. They're getting manhandled up front, and that's killing the Browns. So. Kind of something to look forward to as they address maybe in the offseason, but we're far from the offseason, and the Browns obviously still have a lot of hope for this year. So,
and it doesn't help that your best offensive lineman Joe Thomas has possibly the worst game of the season that he's had all year.
Yeah, Joe didn't have a great game. You know, he hasn't played many bad games in his NFL career, but. That wasn't his best game, we'll say that. And, you know, I don't know. A couple of the holding calls that he had called against him were suspect, but still, you know, I'm definitely not going to blame the game on him. But turnovers, when you turn the ball over, when your defense gives you an opportunity to put points on the board and you don't put points on the board, and then you start off a drive and you fumble the ball and it's returned for a touchdown. That's not what a winning football team does. That's not what a playoff team does, and that's certainly not what a Super Bowl contender does. So, the rest of the game was just I think the Bills got maybe four field goals or three. What did they get? Four field goals after they got that touchdown. They punted, and then they had four field goals to end the game. So, you know, it just kind of leaves you a sour taste in your mouth as the game ends there. Before, obviously, the game ended, the big story, what you're seeing on ESPN, what you're seeing all over, and the big questions, and I think Pettin did a great job handling the questions. Johnny Manziel came in. First drive.
You know, I agree that he did an okay job handling those questions, but why, if you're the head coach, why say for certain that Wednesday you're going to have a decision? What if you don't have a decision until Thursday or Friday?
Well, because
why come out and say why put yourself in that corner?
Because your team, your NFL football team, needs to know by Wednesday who the leader of your team is going to be moving forward. And that's why. That's why there's a timetable. And I don't mind that timetable because speaking of Joe Thomas and Greco and that and Schwartz all and that line, okay, those core guys, okay, they need to know who their quarterback is going to be, okay? Weston Crowell, Josh Gordon, all these guys, they need to know who's going to be passing them the ball, who's going to be handing off the ball to them, and they need to know Wednesday. I get that. I understand. I don't think he's limiting. I don't think he's saying, okay, we're going to make a rush decision. I think he's saying by Wednesday we're going to know, and by Wednesday we have evaluated the tape. We definitely know who our quarterback is, and that's when we're going to make our decision. I don't mind it.
Let me ask you this. What do you think the chances are of Pettin coming out saying that he's going to use them both this week coming up against the Colts?
I think it might have been Berman that was talking about it on one of the post-game, maybe the Blitz or something. But he was talking about sometimes it's worked. I don't know what team it was, but he was saying that they used a two quarterback system, and it was successful. I don't think that's successful. That's going to be successful, obviously, long term. But maybe for a game or two, maybe you throw around that idea. Maybe you kind of use a situational type quarterback. You know, where Hoyer starts the game, you get into the red zone, and you start using Manziel. I'm not saying that I think that's a good idea necessarily, but it's something that maybe the Browns could, you know, the coaching staff could look at. And maybe kind of game plan for it. So, but man, Manziel, okay, he comes in, he leads an eight play, 80-yard touchdown drive.
Hold on.
Capped. Okay.
Let's preface this by saying in typical backup fashion, because that's what backups always do.
Yep.
Backups always come in and take their team on a 80-yard touchdown drive and, you know, start these controversies, but go ahead.
Okay. So he comes in, 8-play, 80-yard drive, capped by a 10-yard touchdown run. That was phenomenal. The thing that I liked about it, about Manziel, and let me get into the good before I get into the other stuff with Manziel. Okay. What I love when he was dropping back for passes, his stats for the game, if you don't know, 5 for 8. Oh yeah, 5 for 8, 63 yards, no touchdowns, no picks, 2 rushes, 13 yards, 1 touchdown. Okay. Obviously, there's some things that he can do with his feet that Hoyer is not capable of. That will never be capable of. But hey, Robert Griffin, he was capable of doing a lot of stuff too. And look how his career turned out. So, but anyways, a lot of stuff that I like from Manziel. He came in, he made quick decisions, which I wasn't really expecting. I was expecting him to kind of drop back, survey, miss some reads, and then make a few electrifying runs. That's kind of what I expected. He looked a lot better than I thought he was going to look. Okay, he obviously has shown that he's put in the time. He has paid attention. He's listened to Hoyer. He's listened to his coaches. And he showed that he can be the future of at the quarterback position for the Cleveland Browns. So I liked what I saw from Manziel. The only thing that concerns me, there's a few things that concern me, and I guess we can just kind of we'll get into it. Few things.
We will get into.
Okay.
It.
Well, the here's the thing. Okay. How many times, okay, I don't have enough fingers and toes to count how many times a backup quarterback has come into the NFL and been successful, and they're a one-hit wonder. They play well for 1 week. They play well for 2, 3, whatever weeks. Eventually.
10, 11.
Eventually, okay, the defenses adjust.
See where I'm going with this.
I do. But eventually, defenses adjust. They make changes. They say, okay. Let's take away the quick read. Let's take away option A. They take away option A, then option B. Some quarterbacks they can't adjust and they can't make the number two, the number three read. Okay, that's where I have a lot of concerns, and I think that's where obviously he's not the starting quarterback, so obviously the coaching staff has concerns. When he got drafted, all the Mel Kuypers and the McShays, the Todd's, all those guys had a lot of concerns about Manziel, you know, a lot of good things that he did, but there's a lot of concerns, and they scare me moving forward with
him. You know, let me stop you right there, though. Yeah, they had concerns. They didn't think that he was a first-round draft pick, but how many times have you heard you got to stick with your board, you got to stick with your evaluations, you take the player that you feel fits at that spot in the draft? Well, the Browns took Johnny Manziel 22nd overall, so obviously they thought that he was worth the 22nd overall pick.
And I think he was, too. And I think so, too. Because when it comes down to it, nobody knows how anybody's going to pan out, okay? Ryan Leaf, Peyton Manning, okay? Obviously, that's kind of a cliche, look what happens. But
Tom Brady.
Right. No, nobody knows. Nobody's set in stone how they're going to do, okay? Me, personally, I see... I see for a ceiling, I think, as good as he can possibly be, that sort of thing. I see a Brett Favre. I see Manziel could be Brett Favre.
That's a great comparison.
So do I. But I also see, and I don't want to say this because I'm a Browns fan. I don't want to say this, but I definitely see it. Tim Tebow. I see that's a floor, and that's something that he could also be.
You know,
and it scares me. But, yeah.
Early on, a lot of people were comparing Johnny Manziel to Tim Tebow, and a lot of people. I mean, Johnny Manziel, he throws the ball a lot better than Tim Tebow did in college.
He does.
Tim Tebow, he ran the ball. You know, he was basically a fullback playing quarterback. Johnny Manziel, I mean, he was still a quarterback playing quarterback. You know what I mean?
I'd agree with that.
So I don't necessarily buy into the Tim Tebow comparison.
But I think where the comparisons for me are, it's a successful college quarterback that relied on his legs quite a bit. That's where I'm saying, yes, do I think he's a better thrower, a more accurate thrower, has a better arm? I think all those things are true with Manziel. But I'm concerned, are you relying too much on your feet to get you yards, to make big plays? And you look around, Aaron Rodgers, he's athletic, but does he rely when push comes to shove? Does he rely on his feet to make big plays? No, it's his arm. It's a rollout pass where he keeps his eyes open and he finds Jordy Nelson on a crossing route or Jordy Nelson on a corner touchdown completion. That's where you see him making his money. That's why Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, all those guys, that's why they're so successful. And Andrew Luck, it's the same thing with him. Yeah, he's athletic, but Andrew Luck is not known for, he gets 115 yards a game running the ball, and, he makes some plays running. He's known for, wow, that boy can throw the ball. That's what he's known for.
And I would agree with that. And that's not something that I want Johnny Manziel to do as a Cleveland Brown. I don't want him to be known for someone who takes off and runs every time.
But can he get there?
I'm okay with him being a Russell Wilson type of player who, at times, can get outside the pocket, get you 3 or 4 yards, move the sticks, get down, get out of bounds, do whatever, and keep the drive alive.
That's what's so polarizing about him. Because you can see all these different quarterbacks in Manziel, and it's yet to be seen exactly what he's going to pan out. I mean, no one really knows. And I think it's exciting to watch, and it's exciting to watch his progress and his growth and everything as a quarterback. But we'll see. But, okay, here's the question, okay? We've said all that. Here's the thing. Week 14 in Cleveland against the Colts, okay? Who do you have as your starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns? Greg, who do you think? I have a thought on what you're going to say.
Well, that's no surprise, I'm sure, that, if I'm Mike Pettine, I'm going with Johnny Manziel. And the reason being, I took this kid 22nd overall in the draft. Brian Hoyer, he is what he is. He's, in my eyes, he's a backup quarterback. But you know who he is in my eyes? He's a Chad Henne. He's a Christian Ponder.
I'll tell you what.
You know exactly who he is? He's Drew Stanton. That's exactly who he is.
I'll say this, and this is kind of – this will go against my point, but I do see a lot of similarities. I think someone mentioned this. A really similar quarterback scenario that happened a few years back, Alex Smith, Colin Kaepernick. Mm-hmm. You see a lot of the same similarities between the two quarterbacks. Obviously, Alex Smith was the first overall pick, but the thing is, Alex Smith, you kind of got the feeling that the ceiling for Alex Smith and the ceiling for Colin Kaepernick were two completely different scenarios. You felt like Colin Kaepernick could potentially be a great quarterback, a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback. Who knows?
His arm talent's up there.
It's second to none. He's got a cannon. He might have him, Joe Flacco, those type of guys. They all have the cannon. They can make every throw on the field. They can throw it over top. They can make cross-body throws that no one can make. Yeah, I agree. And then Alex Smith, you kind of felt like, okay, best case scenario, this guy's a good game manager. This guy can make some plays.
But the thing with Alex Smith is his whole thing is, what's his whole thing? He doesn't turn the ball over.
He doesn't.
And what's happened with Brian Hoyer the last couple of weeks? He's turning the ball over, which is why I'm okay with Brian Hoyer being the Browns quarterback.
Last 2 weeks,
if he's not turning the ball over, but he has been. That concerns me.
And this is what I want to say about that. Okay, the last 2 weeks, okay, Brian Hoyer has thrown 0 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. Now, casual football fan, they look at that and they say, okay, that's obviously piss poor, to be quite frank. But that's and you're right, that is terrible. Okay, very little teams. No team is going to win with 0 touchdowns and 5 interceptions in 2 games. Okay.
No, minus 2 turnover ratio, you have an 80% chance of losing the game.
Yeah, you're not going to win many games in the National Football League like that. Let me say this though. Okay. I would say at least 2 of those, maybe 3, are those picks. Two in the Falcons game that I can think of. One in the last game against the Bills that I can think of. Who are those throws going to? Josh Gordon. And I'm not blaming it on, okay, Josh Gordon, he doesn't know what he's doing. He's a great wide receiver, all these things. but he's coming back. He's still knocking the dust off. A big thing with quarterbacks, with wide receivers in the football and national football, it's having the timing down. It's knowing where your wide receiver is going to be. It's making the read. It's getting on the same page. That's what makes, if you look back historically in the National Football League, the great combos, they have the chemistry. They bend together. They know what they're going to do. They know before the ball is snapped, the quarterback and the wide receiver know exactly where each other's going to be, when they're going to make the throw. They know, okay, we're not going to take a 5-step drop. We're going to change that to a 3-step drop, and this ball is going to be out quick. They know that. They can read the defenses. Josh Gordon, Brian Hoyer, obviously they're not on the same page right now. And that pick that he threw against the Bills, that was clear. I'm not a former quarterback. I don't know everything about NFL defenses and whatnot. But I do know that was a missed read by somebody. I don't even know who that was. But I'm guessing that was probably Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon, Brian Hoyer threw that ball right in front of the safety.
Brian Hoyer was anticipating him, Josh Gordon, cutting in front of the face of the free safety that was sitting back there, and Josh Gordon was thinking that Brian Hoyer was going to lead him to the outside. Which, yeah, I get that, you know, that stuff takes time.
It takes a lot of time. It takes more than 2 weeks.
Absolutely.
Right, and when you couple that in a track record like Hoyer, okay. Yes, he's not. He hasn't won a Super Bowl, and he hasn't been to the playoffs and done well, and all these things. It's not like he has this great resume that we can't say, oh, you know, we've got to keep him in. I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is, as a starter in the NFL, okay, with the Cleveland Browns, he's 10-5 as a starter, Greg. 10-5, okay. He's won twice as many games as he's lost, okay. And don't forget here, okay, where have we been the past 10 years as an organization, okay? 10-5. If you said my quarterback is 10-5 as a starter, and we are 7-5, tied with two other teams at 7-5, and are in the hardest division in football, tied with the same record, and then there's one other team that's ahead of us that we actually already beat, we're 1-0 against this year. He's our starting quarterback, and I told you that we're going to take him out and we're going to put in a rookie that we have. What he has he's thrown 9 balls in the NFL. We're gonna switch. You would tell me that I need my head examined, Greg. That's what you would tell me.
No. Okay. No.
Why?
I wouldn't.
Why?
No, I wouldn't.
Why would you want to put him in there? I don't see it. I don't see.
Here's
7-5.
I understand that he's 7-5 this year, and he's what, 10-?
He's 10-5.
10-5 overall.
Yep. 3-0 last year.
The problem I have is, and he kind of alluded to this in his press conference, that, you know, they don't luck into going 7-5 this season. I agree.
No,
I mean,
don't.
he had Brian Hoyer is a big reason why we are 7-5. I admit that he is, but at the same time, are we 7-5 if we're not playing the NFC South? If we're playing the NFC West?
Greg, this is the NFL.
We're playing piss poor teams.
This is the NFL.
But we're playing terrible teams.
I don't care. I don't care. I don't care who you're playing against. Okay, if you're playing another NFL team, okay, those guys get paid too. Those guys have coaches that game plan all week for their opponent. Okay, those coaches, those players, they get paid multi-millions of dollars a year as well. Okay, we're not the only group that has those players that are getting paid big money. Okay. Every game in the NFL, I don't care who you're playing against, and I know you agree with this, I don't care who you're playing against, you have a chance to really get spanked, quite frankly. I don't care if you're playing against the Raiders. Look what happened to the Chiefs a few weeks ago, okay? You have a chance to get beat every single week. 7-5 is 7-5. I don't care how you slice it. I don't care who you played against. All that's irrelevant to me. I don't care. 7-5, you can't just pull your quarterback and say, no, 7-5, that's not getting it done. That is getting it done. 7-5 is getting it done. And if you're talking about a team that has been awesome and has won Super Bowls and then Hoyer comes in and the team's getting worse, okay, I get it. I can see where you're making your point. But if you're a team that has been in the doldrums, has been just terrible, it's been getting owned, quite frankly, for the past, what, we'll say 10 years, okay? That has been getting beat the way that they have been getting beat. They have been non-competitive. And you've seen that picture of the Tim Couch jersey, and it's got like the list of all the different quarterbacks that have been in Cleveland, has been the starter for Cleveland. Spurgeon Wynn and Ty Detmer, Jeff Garcia, all these guys, they've been the quarterback. They've been the starting quarterback. Now you have a quarterback that's 10-5 as a starter for your organization, and you're going to pull him. No, that's not what you do. And I don't think Pettine's going to do that. I think Pettine's a smarter guy than that. He's not going to do that. But, yeah, do I see a lot of future with Manziel? Yeah, I see a lot of future with him. But the future is not now. Now you need to stick with Hoyer. See what he's got. And what do you do? If Manziel comes in and he starts playing poor, you're at that point, you're screwed. What are you going to do? You have no one to turn to. And that's where I'm at.
Okay, so your thoughts are you go with Brian Hoyer against the Indianapolis Colts.
Absolutely, 100%.
Now let me ask you this. If Brian Hoyer starts against the Indianapolis Colts, he has a so-so game, throws for 250 yards, one touchdown, two picks, they lose the game. Now they're realistically probably out of the playoff hunt. What do you do then?
Statistically, if the margin,
I'm talking the Bengals, if you're talking the Steelers, theoretically the out Ravens, of the playoffs,
if you're talking theoretically out of the playoffs, you know, whatever. I would say, yeah, you might want to go with Hoyer or with Manziel. If Hoyer's playing poorly, if Hoyer's not the problem,
well, I'm not saying he's playing poorly. I'm saying he had a so-so game. He threw for 250.
Okay,
one touchdown, two interceptions.
I say for this season, I say you go with Hoyer for this season. If he plays well, if he plays marginal, if he plays decent, and the Browns are losing and they become out of contention, I think you stick with Hoyer for this year, okay. And then you have an open competition, obviously after the season. You have an open, you know, they keep talking that, you know, there's they,
and I'm
they,
a, I'm okay
they're
with
all
that.
About the competition.
I'm okay with that, and we even kind of talked about this a few weeks ago. But how long of a contract are you signing Brian Hoyer to at that point? And, you know, what I'm going to lead into is at this point in the season, and kind of what I've already talked about all year, is I think Brian Hoyer's backup quarterback at best. I mean, he's someone who's going to complete a little bit over 50% of his passes. Right now he's got 11 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. What is going to change by him playing these last few games as the Browns quarterback? I mean, I'll tell you what's going to happen is – as with him playing as the quarterback is, he's going to finish the season completing a little bit over 50% of his passes. He's going to finish with 14, 15, 16 touchdowns and 12, 13, 14 interceptions. That's who he is. And
every quarterback takes a different road, though. I mean, like, you got to look at every scenario is different. Okay, like Tom Brady comes in and Drew Bledsoe gets injured. Tom Brady comes in. And he freaking sets the world on fire, okay? He plays well. Statistically, he probably wasn't doing what he's doing now. He was playing well, but he was kind of playing a Hoyer-type game statistically. But yeah, he had that clutch gene and everything. We don't know. Does Hoyer have that clutch gene? Those are the questions that we still don't even know. The thing is, we don't know that about Manziel either. So to just say, okay, we're done with Hoyer. You haven't seen enough.
I have seen enough. No. I have seen enough of Brian
There's
Hoyer.
There's no way.
I have seen enough of Brian Hoyer, and I know what he's going to give me every week.
You haven't seen him with Cameron and Gordon on the field. You've never seen him with both those players on the field. In three games that you did see him on the field together, they were 3-0.
I have seen him a lot on the field with Josh Gordon, and what I see is him trying to force the ball to Josh Gordon. Now, what I haven't seen is Johnny Manziel playing with Josh Gordon. And to be honest with you, he's the 22nd overall pick, and I alluded to this earlier. How many times do you hear, you know, in the draft rooms and, you know, the GMs and the scouts that they say that they need to, you know, stick to your evaluations, stick to your board? Obviously, they thought Johnny Manziel was a 22nd overall pick. At what point are we going to see what he's about?
Like I said, I think next year when you start, or if he's for you've had 2 weeks where he hasn't played.
Brian Horace contract's up.
You're right, but here's the thing. Like
we
I
need
said,
to find
that
out
you have that 2 weeks with Gordon just coming back off his 10-game suspension. You have two games, a two-game sample. Okay, that's not a big sample. You can see that if they get on the same page, if he makes that touchdown throw, if that pick turns into a touchdown after a few weeks, then you're saying, okay, Hoyer, he's playing awesome. He's throwing for 250 and two touchdowns a game. That can win you games in the NFL. That can get you to the playoffs. That can win a Super Bowl.
It all comes down. I'm going to ask you two questions. Are we going to win a Super Bowl with Brian Hoyer? And even can Brian Hoyer take us on a deep playoff run? My answer is no. I think he's good enough to get us to the playoffs, but I think once he's in the playoffs, playoff football is totally different. They're going to take away the run. The play action's not going to be there. He's going to be forced to throw the ball 45, 50 times a game, and we saw what happens when he does that. He threw 30 incompletions a couple weeks ago. I'm not saying Johnny Manziel is any better, but we have to find out. He was our 22nd overall pick.
Johnny Manziel is 21 years old. Okay. We still have a long time to figure that out. You can't just pitch Hoyer aside and say, okay.
I can.
He's
picked up by
every
team that he's ever played for.
We haven't seen enough, okay? Let me say this, okay? You're kind of saying, do you think Hoyer is going to be the one that takes you to the Super Bowl, wins it, all those, okay? Which, yeah, I would say we would both agree. The only thing that matters is winning a Super Bowl. That's the only thing that matters, okay? If you get to the Super Bowl and you don't win it, you had a good year, but no one is going to remember 25 years from now. No one is going to remember that last year. The Broncos lost to the Seahawks in the Super Bowl. Okay, no one cares. Only people care about is, hey, the Seahawks, that a dominating defense, they won the Super Bowl. They're awesome. Okay, so that's at the end of the day, that's the only thing that matters. So kind of to answer that, okay, what do you need? There's two things that Super Bowl teams have, okay, that wins championships. All right. The first thing that they could have, if you have one of these things, you can win a Super Bowl, okay? And I think this is kind of – this is what it takes.
Let me stop you right there. Let me guess on these. Go ahead. Top-tier elite quarterback.
That's one.
And a top-tier defense.
That's two, okay? I don't think there's any – I think anybody with any sort of football knowledge would know that, okay? You can have either one of those things, and you have a chance. You have an opportunity to win a Super Bowl. Okay, we've seen both of those scenarios we've seen worked out in the past. Okay, you look last year, Russell Wilson. I think he's probably a better overall quarterback at this point. But last year, he was a good quarterback. He made a lot of great plays, but he was a good quarterback. He was above average quarterback last year. That defense was obviously, phenomenal. Okay, they had the best set of safeties in the league. They had the best cornerback in the league, Byron Maxwell. He's a heck of a corner as well. When you have that good of a secondary, when you put in Michael Bennett, Bobby Wagner, all those guys, Mebane, that's a stout defense. And when you shut down essentially Peyton Manning in any sort of game, whether it's a regular season, preseason, Super Bowl, whatever it is. When you shut him down and make him look that bad, that is a formula to win a Super Bowl. And obviously they did that. But, yeah, you're right. A Super Bowl winning team has a great quarterback or a great defense, okay? And you start looking at the dynasties of all time, and what do they have? They have both. That's why it's a dynasty, because you look at the Steelers, Terry Bradshaw and the Steel Curtain, okay? As hard as that is for me to say, that was a great team because of their defense and their quarterback play. The Patriots with Tom Brady, and then you have that defense with McGinnis and Vrabel, Lawyer Malloy, Ty Law, all those guys. Great, okay. The triplets and the Cowboys defense, just a great defense. And then you look at the the Baltimore Ravens. Trent Dilfer was their starting quarterback, okay? Trent Dilfer. And then Joe Flacco, okay? Those are average, good, decent quarterbacks, okay? But that defense was dominating. It was like a historic type of defense. And that'll win you a championship, okay? Do I think that Joe Hayden, Dante Whitner, Carlos Dansby, do I think that those guys are a great defense, a dominating defense, a historic defense? No, I don't think that. But I think that they are a good defense, and I think that they are going to get better, okay? I think they're a few pieces away from being a top five defense in the league. And when you have a top five defense in the league and you pair that with a decent quarterback that doesn't turn the ball over, track record, though, he does not turn the ball over, okay? You can't look at a two-game stretch with Josh Gordon coming back, okay? A new system for him.
Define track record. You cannot look at that. Define track record for me.
15 games, okay? Yes, that's not even full season. I get that.
15 games.
It's not a full season. How many picks? This year, it's 11-10. This year. If you take away those two games with Josh Gordon, okay? That's five picks. That's 11-5, which obviously you can't just throw those two games away. I get that too.
But my whole thing is you're getting one of the best receivers in football back.
I get that.
Why are you now turning the ball over?
I explain that though. Listen,
yeah, I get it too.
Isaac Bruce, quarterback, Kurt Warner. I understand. They were good because their timing was good. They worked together. They knew each other.
You
want
to know what I see?
Harrison.
I see Brian Hoyer trying to force the ball to Josh Gordon. That's what I see. He's no longer early in the year
because Gordon's getting open, and then he's not making. And then they don't have the chemistry yet. That's why. That's why. Yeah. If 5 games from now, if they're having the same issues, okay. Yeah, I get it. I agree with you. But, 2 games in, man.
I watched that Browns-Bills game 3 or 4 times. To me, it just seems like he's trying to force the ball to their playmaker, Josh Gordon, and he's not going through his progressions.
Did you watch 122 hours of film?
I watched 122 hours of film this morning. No, not Ron Jaworski. What I'm saying is it seemed like earlier in the year when he wasn't turning the ball over, and I can live with, and at that point I even told you, it's Brian Hoyer's team as long as he doesn't turn the ball over.
And it still is.
And you know that I'm a Johnny Manziel fan.
A big Johnny Manziel fan.
But when you're trying to force the ball
think with your brain and not your heart.
Listen to me. I am thinking with my brain. And I guess I just keep going back.
And you want to talk about track record?
And I'm just going back and looking at
9 throws, dude. 9.
And I'm just going back and looking at every team that has cut Brian Hoyer.
Okay. Well,
why are they cutting?
Okay.
Him?
Well, listen. I think
because he wasn't good enough to be a backup.
All right, we got to get into some of the other stuff we got going on here. I think we could probably talk all day about that.
I could. Johnny football.
Well, hey, we'll see. Twitter, maybe. I guess Wednesday we'll know. So, if you have any. Any ideas, any insight on that? If you want to agree, disagree, whatever,
Kurt,
let us know how you feel.
Before we move on, though, I have to touch on this. If you're head coach of anybody, and you pull your starting quarterback, what is that saying? And don't tell
me
that.
I think Patton alluded to it. It's like
don't tell me
like
that gives me a spark.
Do you hear what he said though? Like okay. It does give you a spark. Okay, you gotta see, and I agree. Like I don't necessarily think it was a bad idea to put Manziel in there. For one, it lights a fire under Hoyer. Now he's got more competition. Now he's like, okay, wow, look what happened. Guess what though? Okay, if Manziel goes in there and he throws 2 picks and it just all goes to hell. Okay, where are the Browns at? Now they have 2 quarterbacks that there's no value in. And the Browns organization is saying, oh, not again. Not again. Not another Charlie Fry. Not another Ty Detmer. Not another Spurgeon Win. Kelly Holcomb. On and on and on, okay? That's what's scary. And that's what happens when you – okay, listen. We beat this to a dead horse. We're going to move on to some of the game picks for this upcoming week. Week 14 of the National Football League. We're going to start off with the Thursday Thursday game here. The Cowboys actually, they're going to play the Bears. This is going to be the second week in a row playing on a Thursday for the boys, who got spanked on Turkey Day against the Eagles. So this is kind of a hard game for me to pick. The last three times that the Bears and the Cowboys met up, Bears really, quite frankly, they destroyed the Cowboys. I think, though, that this is kind of a different Cowboys team. I think they're going to get back on track with the running game. This game is going to be at Soldier. I'm picking the Cowboys to win 27-17. Dez Bryant, Tony Romo, Jason Witten, those guys kind of get back on track. I think Tony Romo is going to get some better protection. And that Philly offense, the Cowboys defense wasn't ready for them. I think they're going to be ready for Jay Cutler, who I know is one of your favorite quarterbacks in the NFL. I think they're going to be ready. I think they're going to get a couple picks off Cutler, and 27-17, the boys win. What do you think?
First of all, Jay Cutler's not one of my favorite quarterbacks.
He is.
False. This was probably one of the hardest games.
Why do you not like Jay Cutler?
I don't like his attitude.
Why don't you like him?
I don't like his gunslinger mentality. He
this coming from the Manziel fan. You said it.
I did say it.
Okay. Well,
yeah,
what's
Manziel's
the difference? What's
not a gunslinger.
Manziel's not a gunslinger.
No.
Okay. Continue.
Why is Manziel a gunslinger? Does he take high risk throws?
Does he lob the ball up to Mike Evans?
In college, yeah.
Okay.
You've
seen nine throws in the NFL.
Yeah, what
so
have you seen him do in the NFL?
You think he's just a completely different quarterback?
Has he lobbed anything up in the NFL? He has not thrown one lob pass in the NFL.
In his nine throws, he hasn't yet.
Yeah, that's, you know what that is? That's 0 for 9. That's 0%.
Okay. Continue.
Yeah.
Continue. Go ahead.
Like I said, this is one of the hardest games for me to pick. I am going to go with I like Chicago in this game. I like him at home. I like him on Thursday night. Track record on Thursday night football games. I get that the Cowboys, you know, it's not a typical Thursday night game for the Cowboys because they've had a week to prepare. I like Chicago in this game. I really can't put my finger on it. I like Alshon Jeffrey. I like Brandon Marshall. I think the Cowboys are going to have trouble guarding them.
I had problems with this pick too. I mean, this is a tough pick just because of the track record with the Browns and the Bears and the boys. The track record's kind of pointing to the Bears. It's at Soldier Field, all those things. But to me, though, the boys need a win.
That's what it came down to for me.
I don't know.
Was Thursday night game, Chicago at home.
I can see that.
I've got to take Chicago at home. I've got them winning 27-23 in a close game.
All right, hey, on to the next one. We got two teams that I really hate, the Steelers and the Bengals.
I hate them.
For those who don't know, I hate the Bengals more than the Steelers. I'm kind of unlike all the others. I hate the Bengals more than the Steelers. The in-laws, they're Bengals fans. I hate the Bengals more than the Steelers. Can't stand them. It's kind of one of those things where, to me, like the Bengals and the Browns, they're like the same state. It seems like they kind of have the same fans. I don't want the Bengals to do well. It's me being jealous. It is, whatever. But I don't want that. I want the Browns to do well. The Steelers, I have a lot of respect for them, kind of like Baltimore. You have respect for them. It's a good organization. It seems like they're consistent. They play smash mouth football. The Bengals, I don't want to say that I'm jealous, but I'm definitely jealous. I don't want them to do well and the Browns to not do well. Anyways, I'm picking the Steelers 35, Bengals 21. Steelers get a big win on the road, and it's gonna set up for an AFC North, a heck of a road coming down to the end here.
I agree. I also have Pittsburgh beating Cincinnati. Pittsburgh is 4-point underdogs at Cincy. I just think Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, Martavis Bryant, Ben Roethlisberger. I think they're too much for Cincinnati's defense. I've got Pittsburgh winning the game 24-17.
Yeah, for anybody that doesn't think that Le'Veon Bell is definitely a top five running back in this league. I could argue that he's the best running back right now in the National Football League with all the things that he can do. That
does
guy,
it all.
That guy's awesome. So a lot of respect for him. He's a Spartan, Big Ten country. I have a lot of respect for him, and he's awesome. So now we're going to talk about the Rams-Skins, kind of two teams going in polar opposite directions here. We got the Rams. They're hot right now. They just destroyed, 52-0? Was that the final? 52-0 against the Raiders. Obviously, it's a bad Raiders team, but Raiders just came off a win against the Chiefs, and to beat a team in the NFL 52-0, I don't care what the circumstances are, that is very hard to do. So Rams are playing as hot as any team, and they just got off that win against the Broncos, Peyton Manning and those boys. Rams 20, Skins, I don't know what they're up to. Your boy Gruden, better John, better Chucky.
Not John.
Yeah, no, your boy John Johnny Bro. better have a talk with JJ. So I've got the Rams 20, Skins 10.
I agree. I've got St. Louis winning this game 23-13.
I'm gonna change that to 45-0 next week, that pick. I don't know.
Stop.
They can't do anything.
As well as Colt McCoy played last week, I mean, I think he threw for almost 400 yards and three touchdowns.
He played well.
It's going to be a different ball game going against St. Louis's defensive front. I think they're going to get after him. I think they're going to put pressure on him. I see Colt McCoy throwing a couple of picks. I'm not saying Robert Griffin would do any better. I just think that St. Louis is...
defense. We talk about like what it takes to win a championship. That St. Louis defense
if they're
is turning
in any
into
other conference,
a championship.
They're probably in the hunt for winning that conference if they're in any other conference.
I would agree.
They don't have a quarterback.
Think if they had a quarterback, Greg.
Yeah, they don't have a quarterback.
If they had anybody to play quarterback, if they had Hoyer as their starting quarterback right now, I would think they would definitely be in playoff contention. Okay, so let's go with. Okay, Giants-Titans is going to be next. This is kind of it feels like the Giants, obviously that awesome catch that we're still talking about now with Odell Beckham. Great catch, but I think it's more than just him. I think that Giants team, they're not a talented team. You look at that roster, you don't see a lot of guys that just kind of pop out at you. Not that the Titans do.
Yeah, beat by the Jaguars, which I know the Browns did, but the Jaguars.
Right, I know. I don't know. But I'm going to Titans 24, Giants 10. I just see that Eli kind of does his same old, throws three picks.
What was your score?
I've got 24-10, Titans over the Giants.
I've got Tennessee 27-21. I just see, the Giants have a lot – with Odell Beckham and
you got Beckham scoring three touchdowns. You gonna throw him in your DraftKings?
No, I'd like him to. I just Eli Manning over. He's just unreliable. I can't trust him.
He's very reliable in the playoffs.
But we're not in the playoffs.
Exactly, he's not in the playoffs. So.
I can't. And they're on the road. I like Tennessee in this game. 27-21, Tennessee.
All right. Saints, Panthers. I've got Saints. They showed me a lot against the Steelers in Pittsburgh. I think they're playing well right now. They're playing better, at least we can say that. And the thing about the Saints, you got to remember, they're leading. Are they leading the division right now? I think so.
Them and
the Falcons, I think the only two teams. We're probably going to have, and this is going to bring a lot of debate too on like how the seeding works in the playoffs. But the Saints still have a good chance of making the playoffs as a division winner, hosting a playoff game. But they still have a lot to play for. And when it comes down to it, I definitely trust Drew Brees a lot more than I trust Cam Newton at this point. So I have Saints 31, Panthers 17.
Once again, I agree. I've got New Orleans winning this game 31-10. With Brandon Cooks being injured, Kenny Stills has stepped up. He's kind of been non-existent the last couple of weeks. I see Jimmy Graham having a big game this week. I see them getting him involved and then pretty much blowing them out 31-10.
This next game, I don't want to spend more than 30 seconds talking about. I have the Vikings and the Jets. Vikings winning over the Jets 24-9.
Vikings 16-10. Move on.
Okay, let's go. Ravens and the Dolphins. This game's going to be in Miami. I've got Baltimore winning. They're going to put up 38 points, I think, which is kind of – the Dolphins' defense is pretty tough, but I'm thinking that they need to win. They need to keep pace with the rest of the AFC North. They're going to come out. Flacco's going to play well. Steve Smith, Torrey Smith, the Smith boys, they're going to get some yards. And Forsett, I like him a lot. He's kind of a sleeper in a lot of the fantasy picks and the fantasy draft leagues and stuff like that. I like him. Ravens 38, Dolphins 21.
Finally, we disagree. I like Miami in this game. Miami at home. They're 3-point favorites. I've got them winning this game.
Interesting. After they come off that narrow win against the Jets.
I know.
Trust them that much?
3-point favorites, and my score is 20-17.
All right. Next game, we got the Lions.
I like Ryan Tannehill. I think he's playing well.
He is playing well.
He's definitely stepped up this year.
You kind of look for those quarterbacks.
He's a sleeper in fantasy games too.
Yeah, like the third year, you kind of start to look for, okay, is this guy improving? Is this guy making a leap?
He's improving.
I think Tannehill is one of those quarterbacks that he is making a leap, and I think he's jumped in the conversation of those second tier quarterbacks in the NFL. He's a good quarterback, and I think he's kind of proven that. He's progressively gotten better over the course of about three seasons. So he's definitely getting better. I like Tannehill too, but the Ravens, I think they've kind of turned the corner, and I think that's a good football team, good defense, typical Baltimore Ravens style defense. So
they are. I just like Miami at home.
Okay, so. Very well. Next we got the Detroit Lions against the Buccaneers. This game is played at Detroit. So I've got Lions 42, Megatron, Stafford. I think they're back in full force. Calvin Johnson, what, two touchdowns in the last game, 11 touches or whatever for over 150 yards or so. He had a hell of a game. So I think that they get back on track and they win big over the Bucks, 42-13.
I've got Detroit winning this game. Not as big as you do. I have them winning 20-13. A lot of that based on, I don't know what it is. Their defense is unreal.
Without Jim Schwartz.
But their offense this year is a lot better than it has been in the past, but they're not putting up points. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know if Matt Stafford's not.
I think the past
Matt Stafford's
couple years,
a gunslinger. And I liked him when he was a gunslinger because he does have the arm talent. He has the arm strength to make those high risk throws. But it's almost like he's scared to make those throws. So I don't know if they're not allowing him to or not.
Did you see that slide that he had a couple games ago? I think 2 weeks ago. It would have been, who was it against? It was like a fourth down play. It was like fourth and nine. He rolled out. He got 8 yards. He slid, did a quarterback slide, and he could have got the first down. He slid and he got 8 yards when they needed nine.
Mm-hmm.
Turned over the ball. They lost the game. That was kind of a weird play because I think of Stafford, I think of a gunslinger, but I think of him as a tough quarterback. He gets injured, but he seems to play. I think he plays through a lot of the. A lot of the little nicks and bruises and whatnot. I think he's a tough player. That was kind of a weird play for him, but I still like the Lions. The Bucks, that's who they're playing against. And
the Buccaneers are in the playoff hunt at 2-10.
That goes away after this week.
I don't see them even coming close. I've got Detroit winning 20-13.
And the Buccaneers, I think we can both agree.
I think their only touchdown comes from Mike Evans.
They are a huge disappointment this year. Lovie Smith, you thought McCown.
They need a quarterback.
You thought, yeah, McCown.
McCown's a backup quarterback.
He is. I agree.
Marcus Mariota. They need, They need to draft somebody.
Yeah. Which I don't think it'd be in their best interest to get like a James Winston. I think whoever gets Jameis, we're not
on Jameis Winston. We're not going to get into that for a later episode. We both have our
strong opinion. Probably the same opinion.
Probably the same opinion because we come from the same background.
But, yeah.
Yeah, that's.
He's not the guy. Okay.
No.
Anyways.
No, for anyone.
Broncos, Bills is going to be next, and this is weird. I have the Broncos winning 41-13. Okay. Which I'm saying that I'm feeling like I need to not necessarily change the win.
41-13, that's weird because I have 38-16, so that's the same point spread.
Well, here's the thing though, okay? The Bills, they kind of have the formula, I think, to beat the Broncos, to play in that sort of atmosphere in Denver. It sounds weird saying that 41-13. I think the Broncos are playable, but the Broncos seem to CJ Anderson, they found him. Kind of a diamond in the rough type guy. They found him. They've been running him. So I think it's going to be a lower scoring game than 41-13 that I have marked down here. But I guess I'm definitely picking the Broncos. But I think that game could definitely be a lot closer. Orton's playing well enough to score three touchdowns. That Broncos defense is good, but I don't know. I got the Broncos winning big still.
I have the Broncos 38-16. Like you said, CJ Anderson, they found a running back, and you can't ignore.
That's scary.
Yep. You cannot ignore Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, Wes Welker, and if they get Julius Thomas back this week, Peyton Manning might have a big game.
Yep.
I've got 38-16 Denver at Denver.
Right.
They're 9-point favorites. So.
Okay. Next we got the Chiefs at the Cardinals. I think you kind of saw. What the Cardinals, they're
struggling right now without Carson Palmer.
Yeah,
kind of,
you saw it in that last game against the Falcons.
Bruce Arians said a lot of the right things about how he believed Drew Stanton could still be that quarterback to get him to run him through the playoffs. And yeah, you're right. As a head coach, you gotta say that.
I think you gotta believe it, and they do believe it. But
is he?
No, I know.
No, he's not.
No,
he's not. No. They're going to lose this game to Kansas City. I've got them losing 24-20.
A lot of similarities.
Regardless of how good their Arizona's defense is, I think Kansas City finds, Jamaal Charles finds the end zone.
Yeah, I got Chiefs 24, Cards 13. So
yeah,
and I think the Chiefs are. I think they're a good football team, even though I don't think they've still thrown a receiving touchdown to a wide receiver yet this year.
No, they haven't.
So kind of weird, but it's good football.
That's weird. That is weird, but I mean, what does that speak of?
I mean,
Jamaal Charles and their tight ends and Alex. I mean, what's that come back to? Defense. That comes back to Alex Smith not turning the ball over and their defense playing solid.
That's their formula.
Solid ball.
Yeah, that's their formula. And that defense,
Justin Houston's my boy.
Eric Berry, which that's
yeah. Once
obviously that's sad news and everything hit. You hope everything's okay with Eric Berry, you get the feeling from everybody that he's just kind of a stand-up, well-respected guy in the NFL. So hopefully, he comes back stronger than ever at some point, and obviously he gets taken care of what he needs to get taken care of off the field. Thoughts and prayers obviously go to him, but I think the Chiefs win. Let's go to Seahawks Eagles in the next game, which this should be a heck of a game.
It's going to be a good one.
This game is going to be in Philly. Yep. I got Seahawks winning. I think they're kind of coming into playoff form. They're playing their brand of football right now. They're winning 24-20 in a close game. I think Russell Wilson makes a play at the end of the game to lead them down for a touchdown, 24-20 over the Eagles.
Yeah, I've got the Seahawks winning 24-21. I think that... That Seahawks defense is just going to – Mark Sanchez has been playing well as of late.
Bobby Wagner's back.
I think that the Seahawks defense is just going to be too much for him. I think they're going to put pressure on him. I think that Richard Sherman might come up with a pick. I've got it in a close game on the road, but I've got Seattle winning 24-21.
Yeah, butt fumble is way in the rearview mirror now
Sanchez has been playing very well
as
of late.
He has.
As a matter of fact, he's been my quarterback in DraftKings as of the last couple of weeks. Yep. So
yep.
I mean, he's putting up some numbers.
Yeah, definitely. Next, we got the Patriots Chargers. which we were talking about. This wasn't a podcast or anything, but kind of we were just talking a few weeks ago, kind of maybe mid-season time. We were talking about our AFC and NFC picks for the Super Bowl, and these were our, at the time, these were both of our AFC picks. Greg had the Patriots. I had the Chargers. A lot of things that I like with the Chargers. I'm not necessarily high on them right now. I think they're playing better, and I still have them making the playoffs. I still have them making a push in the playoffs, making a run. But I think that the Chargers are going to win this game. I think that the Patriots, even though they're coming off a tough loss, I think that the Chargers are going to win this game 24-21.
I've got New England win this game on the road as three point favorites, 23-17. I just think Bill Belichick as a defensive coach coming off the loss in Green Bay, I think he's going to have his defense ready to play. And Gronkowski and Tom Brady, I mean, how do you guard it?
No, you can't. That guy's an animal. Gronkowski is like the offensive version of J.J. Watt. He's just like a special type of strong. You know, it's like
he's stupid.
Every week he makes a play. It's ridiculous. Every week he makes a play where you sit back and you say, wow, like, did that really happen? You know, he makes a catch for 5 yards. He runs over five guys and dives into the end zone. Yeah, and it's like, how did that happen? So just unbelievable player in Gronkowski. So I think the Chargers still have enough.
Who do you have? I'm sure I know who you have, but obviously I'm a Browns Raiders fan. San Francisco's playing Oakland at Oakland.
Bo knows,
baby. It's a 4:25 kickoff game. Who do you got? Battle of California.
Lord, I'm thinking I'm gonna have to go with the Raiders in this one.
You going with the Raiders?
I'm going with the Raiders. I think they got
you lost your mind, boy.
They got embarrassed, man. They got embarrassed straight up. So I think when you get embarrassed that bad, I think that I don't know. Okay, you know what? I have on my sheet here, I got the Niners. I'm changing that to the Raiders. I think that the culmination here of Kaepernick and all the injuries for the Niners on defense, I think Kaepernick's not playing his best ball this year. And I think that Kaepernick is kind of getting in his head. Harbaugh, I don't think he has the team like he used to. And I think that the Raiders, this is going to be my upset pick of the week, the Raiders over the Niners. And I'm going to flip that score. I originally had the Niners 31, Raiders 10. I'm going to go with Raiders 17, 49ers 10. I'm changing that right now.
Let me preface this by saying that coming into the draft, Derek Carr was not my favorite quarterback. I thought that he had some arm talent. I thought that, you know, he could do some good things in the NFL. I just did not want the Browns to draft him. Based on the type of offense that he ran at Fresno. With that being said, he's probably been the rookie quarterback that's impressed me the most this season.
Been the most consistent, you know. He doesn't turn the ball over, doesn't take sacks, doesn't do a lot of things that rookie quarterbacks do.
No, he's good. I think he's going to be a good – Didn't play well last week,
though.
No, he didn't, but he's going to be a good player, especially if they get him another weapon at wide receiver, like an Amari Cooper, or, you know, someone else who can, you know, give him a deep threat. You know, this game's close to my heart because I'm a Raiders fan, but I just can't go with the Raiders, man. I'm going San Francisco big, 31-6. I think Frank Gore is gonna. I think he's going to run the ball all over the fucking the Raiders defense. Colin Kaepernick's going to have big and look for Vernon Davis. Look for Vernon Davis to have a big game.
Okay, so it's time for our weekly lock.
It's our both weekly lock. It's the Monday night game.
It's the Monday night. So we have Primetime. We're going to have Chucky calling the game and with
my boy
Tirico.
Chucky, the ham and cheese, the ham and cheese backup quarterback at Dayton.
Spider 3, white banana.
Which, by the way, John Gruden was a ham and cheese backup quarterback at the University of Dayton. Well, I was that guy's backup at Ohio Northern University. I was the ham and cheese backup at Ohio Northern.
One of 14 freshman quarterbacks.
19. We had 19. 19 freshman quarterbacks that year. 21 total. They were good, though. They're a lot better than me.
Yeah, I've got the Packers winning 38-17. I wouldn't be surprised if the 49 or the Packers scored more than that, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Falcons scored less than that. So I've got for my weekly lock of the week, Packers winning big by 3 touchdowns over the Falcons.
The Packers opened it as 10.5 point favorite at Lambeau. You know, obviously, Aaron Rodgers is pretty much unstoppable at home at Lambeau Field. I've got Green Bay winning that game big also, 38-20.
You're seeing the Aaron Rodgers, you're seeing him do things that I've never seen before. A guy that is that athletic, and I think...
He's stupid, man.
I think you're seeing, like, Andrew Luck can be that guy. But right now, you're seeing Aaron Rodgers... week after week, roll out, get outside the pocket, and throw dimes 50 yards down the field in a corner on the run. Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, Devontae Adams, all those guys. Devontae had a heck of a game last week. You're seeing that, and it's unreal the amount of weapons that Aaron Rodgers has. That defense is coming together. That defense is playing well. They are a hot team right now, and definitely a Super Bowl contender. And I think that they could definitely win it all. They've got the formula. So that leads us into the last game of the week. It's not the last game of the week, but it's going to be our last pick of the week. Browns, Colts in Cleveland, up on Lake Erie. It's going to be a big game. I've got the Browns winning 27-24. And before you get to what your pick is, I kind of want to explain why I'm picking the Browns over the Colts. It's not because I'm a Browns fan. I try to stay neutral. I don't get into, I'm hoping that the Browns win, so I'm picking them. That's not what I'm doing here. I'm picking the Browns over the Colts for this reason, okay? I think the Browns have played very well at home, okay? Better than they have on the road. 4-2? I think 4-2, maybe on the at home this year. I think that the Browns played well against the Saints, which the Saints, they haven't turned out to be a great team this year. But I think the Saints are a capable team on the road, and they've actually played pretty well on the road this year. Just got off that win against Pittsburgh last week. But I think that the Browns find a way. To get a big win. I think Hoyer leads the offense. I think he has a good game. I think he has the best game that he's played all year long. I think he plays it against the Colts. Not a lot of people are picking the Browns to play well against the Colts, against Andrew Luck. That defense for Indy's not playing too bad. But I think the Browns, I think they get Crowell running well. I think they that offensive line gets good push all week long. And I think Hoyer plays well. Defense steps up. Hayden gets another pick. Browns win 27-24. Greg?
Yeah, I think, this is an interesting pick as well. Being from Northeast Ohio, obviously I'm a Browns fan. I just don't see, no matter who's starting for the Cleveland Browns this week, how we're beating the Indianapolis Colts. I do think that, Kurt hit the nail on the head with, I think that we do get our running game going with Crowell and West, but I don't think it's enough. I've got Andrew Luck winning the game 34-20.
And the thing is, I guess, to me, the teams that give the Browns the most trouble are the teams that are very physical up front, that run the ball, that pound the ball, that they play that sort of style of offense. To me, it seems like the Colts, yeah, they want to try to get that running game going with Boom Heron. And Bradshaw's hurt right now, which I think is a big loss for them. But I think they're going to try to get that running game going. But I don't think they're going to stick with it. I think when push comes to shove, when it's a close game, they're going to air it out. And I think that the secondary for the Browns is really getting better. And I think that Hayden's playing at a elite quarterback level right now. I think that Whitner, obviously Tyshawn Gibson, he's hurt, and that really hurts the Browns. But I think that Jim Leonard can play well enough. Whitner, Hayden, we get Gilbert back because he's going to be like our maybe. Well, he's going to probably be our dime back still with that rookie undrafted from Pittsburgh. What's his name? Number 36. He's tough. He's playing awesome right now. I think the Browns, I think they find a way to slow down Andrew Luck, and they play well. Williams, K'wan Williams?
Yeah.
So I think this is going to be kind of a sleeper pick, and I'm picking the Browns. And yes, I'm picking this out of my brain, not my heart, Greg.
All right, so there you have it. Those are our picks for the week. Like I said earlier in the podcast, if you haven't already done so, check us out on Twitter, Point After Pod. Head over to iTunes, subscribe to the show, leave a review, let us know what you think. Love to hear from you. Till next week.